Well, you know, it's been a long week, aren't they all? We have talked about this week about the new documentary on Jackie Robinson. We dug into the history of overtime, unraveled the mystery of the Georgia Guidestones. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and celebrate Friday. Let's head into the break room.
Oh, driving in traffic has taught me to cuss much better.
Some people love traffic. Others try transit.
I've got a lot of American candy.
There could be no consent within slavery. That said, human beings are very complicated people.
We have a newbies in the break room this week. Robbie Medwed is the education director of the Southern Jewish Resource Network for Gender and Sexual Diversity. He's also an active OST Twitter follower. Good to finally meet the man behind all the tweets.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And also here in the break room for the first time is Nikki Salcedo. She's the author of the book Intersections and a contributor to Decaturish.com. Hey, Nikki.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And two of our regulars, HB Cho is a reporter for the Korean Daily. Hey, HB.
Good morning.
And Stefan Turkheimer, lawyer, is back. He's also editor for the Georgia Poll.
Good morning, Celeste.
I don't mean to sound less excited about you two. All right, let's start with a video that's been making the rounds online. It shows a Texas police officer pick up a 12-year-old girl and throw her to the ground on a brick sidewalk. The officer has been suspended pending investigation. He's a member of the police department assigned to the San Antonio Independent School District. Those officers receive the exact same training as other police officers. So we wondered if you should have different training for an officer that's going to serve in a school. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These are kids. Their brains are not fully developed. The whole stimulus and response is completely different. You need to have someone specifically trained to de-escalate situations rather than just randomly taking people down.
Yeah.
We have to remember also these kids are still learning how they're going to interact with society. And so if they're told from the beginning that they're a criminal and treated just like a criminal, that's the message they're going to take home with them. And that's the message they're going to take with them throughout the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
I think the dynamic between regular police officers and school resource officers are very different because they're serving the school police is they're serving much smaller pool of people that they have to kind of maintain order. So
and sometimes mouthier pool of people.
Well, exactly.
This
officer was sending a message to all the other kids by throwing this little girl around, saying that I am in charge of this entire situation. But that's not really the right approach when you have a fairly small number of people that you have to kind of building a relationship. I think that's much effective way.
We have about 1 minute left. Nikki, what's your thoughts?
Well, I wouldn't want my daughter treated in that way, but I also wouldn't want my daughter in a situation where the police need to intervene. So it's definitely appropriate for them to have special training to work with students and younger people and younger bodies. But there's an obligation for kids to behave.
There is. Although I would not, I just don't want my kid learning to be afraid of the police. That would be for me the biggest thing.
Definitely not, because when we need them, they'll be there for
us. Yeah, I want him to turn to the police if he's ever in trouble. It is Friday. We're hanging out in the break room. With me is Decaturish.com contributor Nikki Salcedo. Robbie Medwed oversees the Southern Jewish Resource Network for Gender and Sexual Diversity. You gotta shorten that up there,
exactly.
Robbie.
Yeah, we go with Sojourn.
Okay, well, there you go. And we have reporter H.B. Cho of the Korean Daily and lawyer Stefan Turkheimer, who edits the Georgia Poll. Welcome back, everybody.
Thank you.
Let's talk about our founding fathers. A new novel suggests the relationship between Thomas Jefferson and his slave Sally Hemings was consensual. The book describes the relationship as very romantic, despite the fact that Hemings was a teenager at the time. Jefferson was in his 40s when he began having sex with her. Author Stephen O'Connor says there's no such thing as consent with slavery, but O'Connor tells WOCA Radio there's evidence the bond between Jefferson and Hemings went beyond the typical master-slave relationship.
I read that when Sally Hemings left Monticello after Jefferson's death, she took three things with her: his spectacles, an inkwell, and a shoe buckle. And my thought was, why would she want these tokens of his sort of intimate physical being if her life with him had been just sheer torture? I began to think about, well, what could that relationship have been?
Okay, let's keep in mind here that this is a novel, so he could be taking a great deal of artistic license here. But what do we make of this idea that the relationship between Jefferson and his slave was romantic?
I'm sure we can agree that it was a complicated relationship. it's just really tough as a reader and a writer to romanticize the slave and master dynamic in a novel, fiction or otherwise.
Yeah, I would say, to put it lightly, Stefan.
Yeah, well, I can't really disagree with that. But yeah, I mean, it's totally ridiculous. I mean, it's the entire premise is completely ridiculous. I am all for novels being able to take poetic license, but the reality is this is actually something that occurred. It's not something that he made up.
Exactly.
I can't imagine. I mean, there's definitely no way, if you are a slave, consent is not there. It's just never, ever there. It sounds more like a case of Stockholm Syndrome to me than anything else. But now I've been sitting here racking my brain, wondering what is intimate about a shoe buckle.
Yeah.
If the author was convinced that was an intimate thing, right?
50 Spectacles. Shades of Jefferson.
Right. I mean, what's really going on there? But there's definitely something.
Maybe it was worth something. Could have been worth something if it was.
I mean,
maybe she needed a shoe buckle. I mean, like, her shoes may have been. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could have gone here. She may have needed a shoe buckle. Right. Maybe she was short or nearsighted. Like, I mean, we need to think outside the box here. She could have just needed glasses. That's all this is.
Or he could have just written an actual piece of history. There are a lot of books on Thomas Jefferson. He could have just written another perspective. But to fictionalize it, I think, is where, you know, readers are going to find objection.
Because it's not just a master-slave, but we're also talking about pedophilia. I mean, she was maybe
15. She was very young, and it's a true story. So I have the book. I'm reading it. And it's beautifully written. It's ambitious, but you spend a lot of your time going, what is fact and what is fiction? And that's just distracting. As a reader.
Interesting. That's interesting. Obviously, listeners out there, if you want to respond to that, you can call us at 404-500-9457 or tweet us. In the meantime, we have any parents here? Parents?
Nikki.
Nikki's a parent, and I'm a parent. When you find the right daycare for a kid, it can be a really magical experience.
This place is amazing.
I told you.
It's like Hogwarts.
The ladybug sanctuary.
Oh my gosh, the so little cobblestones. Screw the duckies, we belong here.
So I don't want to burst that magical bubble, but a new report might make you think twice about sending your kid to that Hogwarts daycare. The Economic Policy Institute compares the annual cost of daycare with in-state tuition at a four-year public college in Georgia. And guess what? The annual cost of educating a kid under the age of five is little more than $1,000 higher than college. So what does this mean? Preschool is too expensive, or is college really affordable?
I can't say that college is affordable, but this is absolutely absurd. I mean, are preschool kids getting the opportunities that they would have in college? What is that money actually really going to? That's my question. I know that teachers absolutely deserve wonderful salaries, and preschool kids deserve great things in the classroom. But you can't compare a classroom to a college experience.
Well, you're paying someone to keep your child alive. So I would pay a premium for my small children.
Is it that difficult to keep a kid alive? People have been doing it for years.
I mean,
you just sand down all the sharp edges and you close the doors. Like,
you bring a couple snacks and you're good.
Right. You just have to feed them, right?
Do you guys have any idea how hard kids try to kill themselves?
We're clearly not parents right here.
Just use, okay, fine. Then, a padded room and you close the door and, you come back in at 6. I just don't understand why it's that expensive.
I swear. Kids, really, as soon as you have a child, you suddenly become a liability adjuster, because all you see is opportunities for your child to get mortally injured. But let's talk about something else that injures a lot of kids, and that's American food. You know how you go to, the grocery store and there's the international aisle? Well, in the UK, grocery stores have a section for American food. What's on the shelves of the American food aisle? Lucky Charms in about 6 different versions, grits, Twinkies, corn syrup, and Hershey's syrup. Obviously, Brits think we're all fat and eat horribly, like, Homer Simpson.
I like pizza. I like bagels. I like hot dogs with mustard and beer.
I get the picture.
I'll eat eggplant. I could even eat a baby deer. La 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 la. Who's that baby deer on the lawn?
Enough already.
Sorry.
Okay, so what foods would you put in the American food section? We got a tweet from Will Kramer who says, an aisle of American food, cheese, and New York-style pizza, that's it. Robbie, what would you put in it?
I lived overseas, actually, and I needed to get American staples. And I have to say, cream cheese and tinfoil were the hardest things for me to find.
Tinfoil?
Tinfoil, really good tinfoil. Overseas, their tinfoil, really cheap. I would want that on my shelf.
That's not a food item, though. Nikki, what would you put in the American food aisle?
I like cereal. I'm the Seinfeld. We have 25 boxes of cereal in my house, so If I leave America, they have three cereals other places.
It's true. They don't have a lot of options.
I like variety.
They're missing all the good stuff right there. Cake icing and cheese wheat. That's the quintessential American
cheese
grocery
whiz?
Food.
Cheese
mm-hmm.
whiz?
Yes.
Those are separate meals? Those are separate meals? The icing and the cheese whiz together?
Together, yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hey. Lord Stephen.
The thing I missed overseas was peanut butter, but I take offense at the British people lecturing us about food. The best British cuisine is curry, which isn't even British. So I'm a little offended.
And I will have to say fish and chips is not especially healthy.
No. And if you look in an American store, we have a British section and it's all Cadbury's Dairy Milk and all kinds of other candies also.
Oh, but the best British thing is called Digestive Biscuits.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah,
dip
and,
you know, just the name is horrible. They don't have good marketing strategies, but they're delicious.
Yeah. And you know, Stefan, I got to tell you, I don't know if you've ever eaten Canadian peanut butter. But it is so much better than American.
Oh.
I know I'm throwing down the gauntlet there.
Is it
but
less aggressive in taste?
It's just better.
Even bacon, Canadian bacon is better than
America's having a rough ride
better
on the show
for
today.
You. Yeah. It is Friday. I am tempting fate by insulting American peanut butter. We have more with the Break Room gang coming up. I'm Celeste Headlee. This is On Second Thought. We're in the Break Room this morning. With me is Decaturish.com contributor Nikki Salcedo. Robbie Medwed works at the Southern Jewish Resource Network for Gender and Sexual Diversity. HB Cho is at the Korean Daily, and lawyer Stefan Turkheimer also edits Georgia Poll. And I want to take a moment to thank Savannah Coffee Roasters. They donate the delicious coffee that fuels our break room guests every morning. We couldn't have the break room guests without them because they would be comatose. They're online at savannahcoffee.com. Okay, let's talk about cop cars, shall we? The newest line of cop cars are designed to be camouflage. They use a no-profile light bar design. That means those rooftop police lights may be a thing of the past. Federal studies have found, though, that drivers going 10 to 15 miles above the limit have really low accident rates compared to drivers that are going slower, or faster than 15 miles above the speed limit. So what do you think? Camouflage police cars in order to catch speeders especially, is it worth the investment?
No, this is the worst. This is the absolute worst idea that I don't know. I am very, very, very upset about this. First of all, this is not camouflage. Camouflage is like attaching branches and stuff to your car, hiding behind a billboard.
How many branches are there in the highway, Stefan?
There are some, like the trees on the side, they hide in the trees and then they come out. The car should be actual camouflage, like it's an army or something, but that's not what I'm talking about. The point I would like to make is, okay, this is, of course, a huge waste of resources, but if you're going to do it, okay, for efficiency's sake, instead of having tickets each time you speed, you should sell a season ticket. That way I can just speed all year long for one flat rate, and everybody wins in this scenario. I'm offering this, you know, one time only. Perhaps contributors to GPB can get a season ticket like me. Something to consider.
I would become a monthly sustaining member to get that season ticket,
right,
without a doubt.
Green button.
Yeah. To be clear, GPB is not offering that as a thank you gift during our spring membership campaign.
Yet.
I think we're talking about two different issues. One is actually giving people tickets who are going 10 to 15 miles over. And the other one is the fact that if the police officers want to invest and make money, yeah, this is a great idea because you don't see them coming. They're going to make the money. They're going to get the tickets. Will it keep people safer? Probably not.
Why are we having police be revenue agents? That's a bad idea. We're having to fill the budget holes in local governments because we're not adequately funding them because we keep getting rid of the tax base and with
Stefan
property
tax Stefan is fired
rollbacks.
Up. HP
I'm
or
real
Nikki,
mad.
You guys want to jump in here?
This is only useful, I think, only for microaggressions that officers can use because, I mean, like hiding behind stop signs and it's like hiding somewhere. That's the whole point, right? And also not being able to see. So I don't know. I don't really.
Actually, having a police car that looks like a police car is a deterrent to crime and speeding. So they should actually make the lights above bigger. Mm-hmm. Like Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh, and also when they're patrolling neighborhoods, it actually has been shown that when
absolutely
people see police cars filing through.
In other countries, police cars are neon and they're huge and you really know mm-hmm. when they're coming.
Huh. Okay, well, it's really hard to speed most hours of the day in Atlanta because the traffic is really bad. The city's public transit system, MARTA, and five other regional transit agencies have teamed up on a campaign that pokes fun at our congested roads and highways. It is designed to get people to take public trains and buses. One of the videos features an elderly woman bragging about all of the curse words she's picked up while on the roads.
Oh, driving in traffic has taught me to cuss much better. And words like and Oh, and they just roll off my tongue now. Listen. Hey, you. I just made that up.
Okay, so it sounds like Marta is assuming that everyone swears in traffic. Is this true? First of all, yes, everyone. Everyone at this table?
Everyone sings in the shower. Everyone swears in the car. It's just the rules of the road.
I don't anymore. I have figured out a way to be effective and not actually say the words. I make a list of things that I want to say. So number one would be something that I would be able to say on the radio. Number two, three, all of them. But when I want to say those words, I just go one or two or three.
That's brilliant.
That definitely works.
Yeah. That is an excellent strategy.
I don't shout at drivers so much anymore. I find that it just makes everybody more upset. What I will do actually is roll up next to somebody, roll down my window, stick my thumb out, and give a big thumbs down.
Oh, I totally thought you were going to say something else.
No. Because seriously, I can see Stefan's face right now. It's very confused and almost a little disappointed. That's the face that you get when you get a thumbs down. All of a sudden, it's not that you're getting the fight
like
that you're after. It's really
on...
like, that's not cool. That's not cool. Nobody wants to be uncool.
That's mean.
I'm disappointed. That's mean.
That's meaner than swearing horribly.
Don't have to know that you're swearing. They could just think you're on a conference call.
Mm-hmm. But I don't understand the point of not telling someone else what I think they could be doing better.
Yeah.
We're all doing the wrong things. There's no real reason to swear because the bad thing we're cursing at other people for doing, it's just because they did it before I did it.
Which gives us the moral high ground.
I don't know about that. Stefan?
I don't know. The best thing about being in my car is getting to listen to the radio, first off. And so, like, all I do in the car, speaking of showering, all I do in car is sing the whole time. That's not even a joke.
That's a great strategy.
What are you singing?
Oh, mostly Outkast. Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, like, you know, anything that I know the words to. But
so it's a stress reliever.
Yeah. I mean, you basically, it's the best. But I'm really excited about Marta's plan here, you know, make Marta cool. Make it all about community, make people calm down.
Marta,
I think this is
cool.
Really super...
I love Marta.
I know, right? So yes. Do I. It's the best. Other than the radio thing, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. But didn't one of you say that you learned swear words from writing Marta?
Oh, I said I learned Kilo Ali lyrics. That's slightly different.
Also handy.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to 1980s Atlanta rap. What's up?
Well, I thought we were going to get some pushback on me saying about Canadian peanut butter, and we did already. The UGA has tweeted back, Canadian peanut butter? Georgia is number one peanut producer in USA. Got to support our growers. Look, I have nothing but love for the Georgia peanut,
yeah.
But the peanut butter from Canada tastes a little better to me.
Are you going to put a stirring defense of Canadian bacon as well? I mean, is this how far are we going to go?
That was HB Cho that was talking about Canadian bacon.
And honestly, I'll challenge you on the Canadian peanut butter. The best peanut butter comes from Taiwan, and twice I've had friends bring it back for me.
Oh, see, now you're worse than me because I don't think Taiwan is importing Georgia peanuts.
Well, they have good peanut butter there, and I love every peanut butter I've ever met.
Okay, so Georgia farmers, your complaints go to Nikki Salcedo.
I also eat Georgia peanuts all the time. I'm just saying I'm an equal opportunity peanut butter eater.
And we also got a tweet from David S. Thompson who says, British cuisine is an oxymoron. He's
yes.
Oh, yeah. That is
good job, Mr. Thompson.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that'll do it for us today. I want to thank this week's Break Room panel. Nikki Salcedo is a contributor to Decaturish.com and author of the book Intersection. Robbie Medwed is the education director at the Southern Jewish Resource Network for Gender and Sexual Diversity. HB Cho is a reporter for the Korean Daily, and lawyer Stefan Turkheimer edits Georgia Poll. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.